The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
The shift, I mean, where did it happen in your mind, you think?
Well, I think it was like cumulative because I listen, at 16 years old, the first book that I can remember reading was Seed of the Soul by Gary Zukav. Okay. I mean, what 16-year-old is reading that?
Yeah, what's that about?
Consciousness.
That's like, what's that? My cousin read it. She's real smart when she was like, you're with that age, Siddhartha or what's that?
Oh,
book?
Siddhartha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a whole philosophical type. Yeah. So you're very cerebral.
Yes. And so I kind of, and it was like, I was almost wanting to escape because like I said, I was just so unhappy and I found these books, these self-help books, and it kind of gave voice to the emotions and the feelings that I had. And I became like a self-help addict where I just read so many books. Like I said, I was in and out of therapy.
Even as a teenager.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even as a child, because I actually had OCD. And I was sent to a child psychologist and because I had all these negative thoughts. I lost my grandfather and my uncle back to back when I was like 10 years old.
Right.
And I thought everybody was going to die.
Yeah, right. Of course.
You know, the wake and I was like, probably you should never send a kid to a wake and see that because they're making a meaning out of it.
Shivas are better. We don't have dead bodies.
Right? it was soft trauma, right?
Yeah.
It was traumatizing to me to see that and to see how people
You're 10.
Right.
You're not 40.
Yes.
You absorb it very differently.
You absorb it, yeah. And I thought everybody was going to die. So I became obsessed with death and those kinds of thoughts, which caused, you know, anxiety.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi, I'm Nikki Gangemi, owner of Mindful Matters, LLC. I'm a transformation coach, author, speaker, and I help people remove the invisible barriers to success so that they can take the big leaps in life, do what they love, and be happy and satisfied.
Let's see. Okay, Nikki, so thanks for finally coming on the podcast. I was talking to, you know, Trevor Anderson.
Yes.
I was trying to think how we met. He was like, I think I introduced you to Nikki. I'm like, I don't think so. I think we met at a networking event, didn't we? Like when pandemic started?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I met, yeah. Yes, we did.
Right. You met Trevor separately.
I met Trevor separately.
I don't want to give Trevor credit for introducing us. All right. So I want to talk about, you know, all the positive thinking stuff that you do. But maybe we go back as your story about how you got to where you are now and happier with your, what you're doing. You maybe want to go back and start with, you know, what you were doing in your life and your journey to where you are now.
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to go back to the first time I ever took a big leap. And that was when I was 23 years old. I wanted to act my entire life. And following a breakup after 5 years, that kind of catapulted me to take massive action.
So 23, and just after college, is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A few years after college.
Okay.
And so I got on a plane. 2 months later, I was living in Los Angeles. I was, you know, it was the best year of my life. I really got out of my comfort zone big time. And while I was out there, though, I realized that I didn't have quite the confidence that I needed to stay out there.
You wanted to act. You wanted to be
on
TV and movies?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, yes. And I, you know, I did all kinds of work and jobs to pay rent for the first time in my life. I mean, literally was, I was so sheltered and protected growing up. So for me, the first time at 23, doing my own food shopping and laundry and all of that, it was like a huge life lesson for me.
Now, you're originally from New Jersey?
Originally from New Jersey.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So first time across the country, had my car shipped out there. And I loved it so much, but I kept getting in my own way. I kept not believing in myself and a lot of fear coming up. So when my lease was up a year, yeah, I said, I'm going to just go back home. Because maybe this world is too big for me. And it's like, what am I going to do now? And I was told by family to be a teacher because I come from a family of teachers.
It wasn't like you want to be a teacher since you're a little girl.
No, okay. I wanted to be an actress.
Yeah,
so I said, no, I don't want to teach. It's not what I want to do. I'm going to figure something out. So, you know, after waitressing and doing little admin jobs. Back in New Jersey. Okay. Yeah. I was like, you know, I've got to do something more than just this. So I finally said, yes, okay. I went alternate route. I took the state exam.
That alternate route is the way to get into teaching quicker, right? Because
When you're coming from corporate, let's say. So my best friend said, I'm doing this too. Let's both take the praxis. We both take it. I pass, she fails, I become a teacher, she doesn't. So I always like joke with her. I say, I blame you for this.
What did she end up doing?
Now she has her own business. She's a photographer.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, but she ended up
during the year when you were in LA? Did you get any jobs? Was it just very frustrating? You're going on, what is it, auditions all the time?
I did auditions. I took acting lessons. I studied with a great coach in Venice Beach. I got my SAG eligibility. I was doing extra work, getting my SAG vouchers. And then I worked. I did catering. I did PR work. What was interesting, Mitch, was that I had a job created for me that didn't exist.
Okay.
There was a celebrity attorney who hired me to get him. He had a show that he wanted on TV, and he hired me to come in with a TV guide every Tuesday and just get him pitch meetings.
Oh, so you were like his salesperson, his PR specialist.
PR, yes.
Right. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And it just, you know, then I got known for being the person who could get people in the door. And I had I started to have like this actress call me to kind of for me to be her agent. And that's when I said, you know what? No, I'm out here to act myself. Like, this is not.
Sounds like a great opportunity though, to keep you in the business and stuff.
I know it's, yeah, but I just kind of shut down.
The mindset wasn't there.
Yeah. And I came back home, but a little piece of me died a little bit because, you know, when you give up on your dream.
Yeah, it's hard to make, right? To say, that didn't work. I mean, you know, it's funny, like some, certainly in hindsight, but you, to a certain extent, it's like, oh, let's go and there's going to be a new opportunity. But you're always looking like, yeah, but that didn't work. I wish that had made, I feel the same way. I probably reinvented myself 12 times in my life. And you always feel a little bit of remorse, disappointment. It's hard not to, you know?
It's hard not to, especially when, like I said, I got so many ins. My cousin, he helped me a lot, and he works in the entertainment industry as a celebrity event planner and caterer. I was meeting producers and directors. He's like, Nikki, just give it 5 years.
You think if you didn't give it enough time, is that why?
I absolutely didn't get enough. It was a year, and I was back in New Jersey.
And you freaked out, yeah.
Yeah. So then I settled into teaching but you know what it was, Mitch? I was a rule follower. I was like, I'm doing what I'm told to do. And you know, you were told get an education, get a job, get married, you have kids.
How do you think I became a lawyer? It's because my grandmother said, go to law school. I didn't know. I just followed.
Yeah,
I'm the same way. Yeah. Right.
Right. But then I said to myself, but wait a second, where's the rest of this stability and certainty package?
Right.
Where's the husband and kids?
It's not
that
bad.
Hadn't come. Yeah. And, you know, I had turned 40 and I just cannot believe that I made it to 40 and I was still alone. And that was like my wake up moment. One morning, shortly after I turned 40, I look in the mirror and I almost had this like out of body experience where I like could step outside and see myself. And I got really upset. And I said, what if nothing changes?
Right.
What if I'm standing here in my condo and now I'm 50 and yeah. I'm still complaining about the same thing that I don't like my job? I said,
and you've lost 10 years of your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I said, it makes no sense on paper to take a leap right now. But I skipped ahead a little bit. While I was teaching and saying I was unhappy, I heard somebody say, why don't you bloom where you're planted? And I thought about what that meant. And it came to me one day, I was dating this guy and he said to me, why do you have to wait until you have all your ducks in a row?
Yeah, you can't wait till all the lights are green.
You cannot
to town.
Wait.
Yeah.
And I was telling him about my idea about how, you know, kids are still going through the same thing that I went through. I taught in the same district that I went through as a kid myself. And my middle school and high school years were just torture because the bullying was horrific.
Yeah, I mean, we all go through it and it's, it's a lot of,
it's a lot.
Now, let me pick, you had been teaching for a while though, because you said 23, you go to LA a year. So you're teaching like around 25 or something.
25.
Mm-hmm. And now you're 40. So you've been teaching for 15 years at this point.
15 years. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a long time. It's a long time to.
Some people don't ever make a change and they're miserable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But I was tired of complaining and I was in and out of therapy all these years. And I was like, you know, I just felt like I had to do something. So, you know, the guy that I was dating, he said, if this is what you want to do and you feel this is important, that you want to help others to be happy and love themselves, then start talking about it now. Talk about it in your living room.
You can't be more miserable than you are, right? So putting yourself out there is not going to make it worse.
Right. Just put yourself out there. So I said, you know what? I'm going to act as if. I started speaking in my living room about topics that matter to me. Then Mindful Matters came into my head. It was like this inspired idea. I presented it to the principal. He let me pilot it. I did it for a year and I came alive again.
And that was with children at that point, right?
That was with children. Yeah. Okay. And I taught them coping skills to deal with stress and anxiety, how they can take their thoughts that were making them feel sad or upset, and how they can reframe them and tell a healthier story.
Right.
So that they felt better about themselves.
Of course.
And then
life is a way of just beating you over the head, and you got to look at it differently.
And if you're not taught how to deal with what's in your head, you know, when we hear things like get over it, lots of people have it worse, it minimizes you. And some way you just feel
well, that's the old school way of doing it. You know, come on, you work harder in school. There was no like appreciation for, you know, maybe you need a little bit of help. Maybe you need a little guidance. Maybe you need to think about things differently and you need help. You know, it was all about the old world. I mean, you're Italian. My wife's half Italian, half Jewish. The Jews and the Italians, it was like, suck it up, you know.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, and they would give you a pep talk. It was like, everybody's got it worse than you. It's not so bad. And that doesn't help a lot.
No, it doesn't help at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. So when I saw the effect that it had on the kids and that they were so much more resilient, now they could come in from the playground and they were able to self-soothe after I gave them
like it didn't affect them so much, right? They could let it roll off their back.
They became more resilient. Exactly. The bounce back was amazing. I said, okay, so now instead of being upset that I went through, because I felt like I was held back in life because of this. That's why I couldn't move on and have my own family and all this stuff. But you know what?
Right.
That's a victim mentality.
Right. You were little, like you were blaming others, right?
Blaming others. Yeah. So I said, you know what? I went through that for a reason, because if I didn't go through that, I'd have no interest in what I'm doing.
Right. You wouldn't be where you are.
I wouldn't care. Right.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So
still teaching though at this point?
I was still teaching.
And so you put this curriculum in.
I did it. They let me do it before school hours.
Okay.
I did it for a year and then I couldn't take it any further in the school. They didn't want me to do it anymore. So I said, okay. And initially
helping
it was
the kids too much. They wanted to cut that program. So This is going much too well. So we're going
to. Much too well. Well, I asked to get out of the classroom. I said, I'd like to be a consultant for the district. I think this needs to be implemented from pre-K through high school, like phys ed, art,
right.
music. It needs to be like emotional fitness.
Yeah. Could you imagine if like all the public school districts did that, like how the kids would like flourish?
Yes.
Such a good idea. Why not? Why do it? Right. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it was, I said, I got upset initially and I almost had like that I was back in California where I was ready to give up. And I said, right. you know what? Actually, it was the principal. She said to me, this is one no. That doesn't mean that's it.
Everybody needs a mentor.
I said, you are absolutely right. I just need to think bigger.
Yeah.
And that's when I tried to take the program outside of school. I made it an LLC. But in the meantime, I had adults coming to me saying that, you know, I could use this stuff
because
too.
They had heard about it through the kids and maybe they were parents or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Words getting around.
I had written a book. I wrote my book, My Gracie. It was based on my story. And again, that was written because it was prompted by a guy I went to high school with. His son had committed suicide in 10th grade. And I was like, you know what? I had those thoughts too, growing up in the, how, because I didn't know what to do with everything in my mind.
Yeah.
But I didn't act on it. But there are people who are acting on it. And if they knew how to deal with those thoughts and those emotions, and they felt that they had a place to be heard and comfortable enough to share what's in their mind, then maybe that doesn't have to happen.
Right. They don't end up in that dark place.
Right. So I wrote the book, My Gracie.
Is it available?
It's available on Amazon.
All right. We'll put a link in our new podcast store to the,
Yeah.
We'll put that there.
Yeah. Awesome.
My Gracie, it's called?
My Gracie. Yes. Okay. And I wanted to, cause I know a big emphasis is on bullying, but it's very disempowering to identify yourself as that.
Right.
So I wanted to tell the story through a lens of empowerment. And really the message is that you already have everything that you need inside of you. You're good enough as you are. And it's just a matter of you remembering that.
Right.
And so that's the message of the book. And then I include a guided meditation at the end.
Kind of like we're all superheroes. You just got to figure out what your superhero thing is, right?
You do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So
then fast forward and then, you know, adults. And then I learned about coaching and I said, ooh, this sounds right up my alley. You know, I do love teaching and I'm still teaching. I just didn't like the content that I was teaching. I didn't like teaching to a test and the curriculum and all that, but I'm teaching in a different way now. It's more like I'm guiding. So I got my coaching certification. I started going into the online space, hosting online events. And again, I felt that aliveness like back when I was in California.
Right.
So I decided to follow that. And then the 40-year mark, now I was trying this for about 3 years.
Okay.
I said, because it was 2016 when I started when I formed the LLC.
When you left the school and you were out of the school district at that point?
No, I left the school in 2019.
So I had a little bit of a running head start.
Okay. Right. It was a couple of years of just kind of doing both, trying to balance
feeling
the day job and
then
that at home, you know, at night. And it got to be too much. And also what happened was there was a change in my values. So where I used to value stability and certainty. See, our values always drive our behavior.
Right.
So I took those actions because the value was stability and certainty. But I started questioning whose values are those really? Are they mine or were they just taught to me?
Right.
And I started to feel suffocated. I said, now I value authenticity and freedom. So it made no sense to stay in the job that wasn't lighting me up.
Right. And it's really not stable and certain. It just, that's an appearance.
Yes.
As soon as things change and things go, you know, it's not so, you don't have control of what's going on.
What's going on now?
Yeah.
Exactly. So I decided then it felt good. I'm telling you, it was a little bit scary. It was exciting, but at the same time, I felt this calm inside and I'm very like in tune with how I feel. And I
said,
because I feel this sense of calm, I'm going to trust that this is the right decision.
Right.
I have no evidence that it is.
Well, but you did because you're calm for a reason, right? So
yeah.
You know, you're doing something that at least subconsciously makes you feel good about what you're doing. You feel like you're going in the right direction as opposed to maybe you should have given it more time acting in LA, but it was like a little voice in your head that just wasn't comfortable with continuing to go down that road. And I think a lot of us don't listen to those voices, and we question, and then we don't trust ourselves. And if you're really that miserable, there's a lot of people that are miserable.
Yeah.
They don't change. They're just so afraid of, you know, what's on the other side. And at the end of the day, there's nothing on the other side. It's like, what's that book with Grover the monster at the end of this book? Right. And you find out that it's really just him. Right. I used to read that with my kids when they were little all the time. They'd want to read it. And they thought it was hysterical and they thought it was funny, but they understood that, you know, life is just frightening. It appears frightening.
Appears. Yes.
It's all appearance. And especially when we're younger, like when you work with the kids, I think adults, we don't, you know, we always used to be like, ah, you're fine. But we never really would take into account like how a young person digests information, and they don't experience life like we do. We've had 40, 50 years of life experience. Mm-hmm. They don't look at it that way. You know, something that's overwhelming to them, I'm sure right now, my daughters are going through it too, my son, the whole world is upside down now. You know, we have teachers who are so uncomfortable now. Talk about getting out of your comfort zone. They're not prepared to do all this online teaching, and a lot of them are not doing it, and the kids are suffering, and there's a lot of this stuff going on. And it's, as an adult, we're definitely experiencing it very different than our children. And I think that a lot of parents don't realize that or recognize that, you know, like the bullying, right? Come on, he doesn't bother you. Just ignore him. Kids don't feel that way. It's their world. It's their world.
Yeah. And sometimes, honestly, it's just a matter of, they just need a little bit of that space to feel acknowledged and to feel heard. And they can move through it much more quickly if they're given that.
Because they don't have the tools that we as adults. Right. Yeah, right. I think that's where we really fall short. And I hope that, especially from a teaching standpoint, because I shouldn't say this live, but I'm critical of the way we teach our children, right?
Yeah.
I was talking to a new friend of mine yesterday, and she's been not homeschooling her kids. She's been sending her kids to online high school. So, I mean, Stanford, all the major universities have programs where it's basically, you know, there's online teachers, and these people know how to teach online. I mean, it's designed that way. These kids are thriving. And if they're smart, they can jump ahead in certain, you know, topics, and they're getting into college anywhere, and they do their extracurricular and make their friends and learn to live in a different world. School's not about social. I mean, it is about social, but maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe that's separate, you know, that type of stuff. So there is a different way and a better way to do things. And we teach teachers like it's still 1945. Everybody goes to the class, take the book out. Right. And now that we're in the digital age, and we just jumped right in, right? They were all forced into it. They're not ready. So I don't know. The strong will survive, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there is a better way, you know, and maybe this is the opportunity to see that we don't have to do things the way that we were, the hard way. I'm noticing there's a lot more ease, even going to the doctors. I had to go to the doctors recently, and normally every time you go, you got to fill out 6 pages of paperwork. And this time it was just hold up your card and then you give it back to you. And then, okay, you go just wait for the doctor. And it's like, what about all that paperwork? Even I don't have to fill it out because I can't touch a pen and paper.
So right, exactly.
All of a sudden, it's this easy.
Yeah.
So it gets you to question everything you ever learned.
Right, just because we're doing it that way doesn't mean we should.
Exactly.
There's a guy who, and I know you're not into teaching anymore, so it doesn't matter, but there's a guy who's coming on my podcast. I think the episode's coming out in a couple of weeks. He's the CEO of a company called Teach Better, and what they're doing is they've been working with districts. I don't think he graduated college, but he's got a partner who's an educator, and they're working with districts around the country to teach teachers how to teach better to the kids, not teach to the mainstream and to help these kids flourish and stuff. And they're being very successful. So
that's great.
I don't know, maybe there's a hope for our children afterwards.
There's always hope.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Cause you're the mindfulness positive person. Yeah.
But it's a skill I had to develop. I wasn't always that way. I was unhappy. I was very negative.
Right.
I completely changed.
And like I said, I don't think a lot of people get to where you are now. I mean, you're helping them to get there, but you got there on your own. Now, do you think looking back that there's always like an outlier scenario, right? Somebody intervenes, somebody you meet, somebody's a mentor, something you read, something that causes you a paradigm shift or to pivot in your thinking and what you do. So, you know, what do you think Like, how do you think you got here on your own without all the coaching that people are getting from you now? How did it happen? Now you're a positive person. I grew up in Jersey suburbs too. We just accepted everything and you lived your life and that was it. And I went to Cornell and I didn't know what to do. I just graduated high school, went to college, graduated college, went to law school, graduated law school. I don't know. I'm practicing. I'm a lawyer, not by choice, just by happenstance. Right. You know, I'm the accidental lawyer, you know.
Yes.
So what do you think happened?
I'm the accidental entrepreneur.
Kind of, but not really. What was the shift? I mean, where did it happen in your mind, you think?
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's L-A-W to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Well, I think it was like cumulative because at 16 years old, the first book that I can remember reading was Seed of the Soul by Gary Zukav. Okay. I mean, what 16-year-old is reading that?
Yeah, what's that about?
Consciousness.
That's like, what's that? My cousin read it. She's real smart when she was like, you're with that age, Siddhartha or what's that?
Oh,
book?
Siddhartha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a whole philosophical type. Yeah. So you're very cerebral.
Yes. And so I kind of, and it was like, I was almost wanting to escape because like I said, I was just so unhappy and I found these books, these self-help books, and it kind of gave voice to the emotions and the feelings that I had. And I became like a self-help addict where I just read so many books. Like I said, I was in and out of therapy.
Even as a teenager.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even as a child, because I actually had OCD. And I was sent to a child psychologist and because I had all these negative thoughts. I lost my grandfather and my uncle back to back when I was like 10 years old.
Right.
And I thought everybody was going to die.
Yeah, right. Of course.
You know, the wake and I was like, probably you should never send a kid to a wake and see that because they're making a meaning out of it.
Shivas are better. We don't have dead bodies.
Right? it was soft trauma, right?
Yeah.
It was traumatizing to me to see that and to see how people
You're 10.
Right.
You're not 40.
Yes.
You absorb it very differently.
You absorb it. Yeah. And I thought everybody was going to die. So I became obsessed with death and those kinds of thoughts, which caused, you know, anxiety. So, you know, in and out of therapy, like I said, and so I was struggled with my thoughts. So I became very interested in how can I harness my thoughts? How can I change them, find some kind of relief. And then when I was introduced to mindfulness, one therapist I was seeing, she was very alternative. She introduced me to emotional freedom technique, the tapping that I do.
Right. And what age was this?
Oh, I was already in my early 30s.
Okay. So really, it was like 15 years later.
Yes. Yeah. And that's where I found like the thoughts slowed down, those obsessive, constant negative thoughts, because they just they become a habit.
Of course. We become more attached to the negativism than we do, right? Some people are like that. They're just attached to chaos and terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and
it becomes addictive. Emotions are addictive. You could be addicted to anger, addicted to guilt.
And just go that direction every time.
Right.
Now and you're in the middle of teaching at this point. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in the middle of teaching. And then I was introduced to meditation and yoga and different breathing techniques. And when I was able to get some relief from those thoughts and my mind slowed down,
right, you calmed things down.
Feels good. Now yeah. I was able to become aware of some of the stuff that was always just hidden in the constant noise in my
right.
head.
Yeah, now you're looking at the world differently and you're thinking more clearly, right?
Yes,
and you're making more purposeful decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when I started to really question a lot of things and consider alternate perspectives. And so that was a big change. The other one that helped was an assistant principal where I used to work, and I ran into him in a parking lot at like a little coffee shop. And we had this conversation about I wasn't happy, whatever. And he's the one that said, bloom where you're planted. That kind of planted the
That's
seed.
A good
How
quote.
Can I? Yeah. 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 I said, what does that look like? What does blooming where I'm planted look like?
Yeah, what does that
like?
Mean?
What does that even mean? But I wrote it down and I just like put it aside. I kind of put it on the back burner.
Right.
And then maybe a year or two or so after, I was dating that guy who I thought was like the perfect guy for me. He was very spiritual. He was unlike any guy I ever dated. I thought, I found my prince.
Right.
And but you know what? It wasn't. But he's the one that said, if you want to start speaking, speak in your living room. Just start doing it. Act, do it now.
Okay, and good advice for people. Just do it. And if you're not comfortable doing it out there, do it in private for a while.
Do it in private. Yeah, just get into action.
Record your podcast, but don't publish it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So then I put all my ideas together on like an oak tag paper, and I said, I'm going to go in. I'm going to
present. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I went in, I had made an appointment with the principal, and I said, this is my idea. It's Mindful Matters. It's going to teach blah, 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 blah. And he goes, I love it.
Goes, now, that's interesting because you kind of bloomed where you were planted, but then you replanted yourself. You said, oh, this is not blooming anymore.
Yeah.
Time to go to another garden.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Because the school at the time didn't agree with my point of view.
Right.
You know, I said that this is equally important to reading. I said it's like the fourth R, reading, arithmetic, writing.
Maybe more
and reflection. And more important.
Yeah.
And then... you know, I was in third grade at the time, and then I was told, well, if you think this is more important than reading, you don't belong in a testing year, putting you down in pre-K.
You're like, okay, goodbye.
So I was like, okay. So they put me down in kindergarten because I wasn't certified.
Now you're babysitting.
Yeah. But it ended up being better because there wasn't so much of a focus on the test. I could do more with emotions.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't do the program anymore, but I was able to spend more time on that. And then, like I said, I was kind of guided. I met somebody online, a business coach, and she said to me, Nikki, why don't you go from local to global? Why don't you move into the online space, host your own event around this topic?
Yeah, you did a virtual summit.
I did a summit. Right? Unlock Your Hidden Potential. I brought together 28 speakers to speak on this. And that's kind of like been the theme. Like we are so much more capable than what we perceive ourselves to be. Like our self-image... that really defines the success that we have in life. And I'm actually currently reading this book by Maxwell Maltz, Psycho-Cybernetics. And he says that you will never outperform your self-image. So how do you see yourself? So if I always
That's
see
a good
myself,
point, right? You can't rise above
you cannot.
Where you are. That's your watermark.
Yes. You've got to change how you see yourself first.
Yeah.
Then you take the different actions. And that's why when I changed what I valued, right? I no longer wanted that stability and that certainty. Once I changed that, I was like, the next action just organically unfolds. It's like, well, it makes perfect sense to walk away from a job that doesn't support my authenticity and freedom.
Right. It all kind of made sense.
So yeah, so many of us focus on action, like let me take this action, but you've got to start with your values. You've got to start with your beliefs about yourself. Change that first.
Right.
Process the emotion, heal the emotion, get better with you.
Yeah.
And then you'll be inspired to take action.
You know, I think that there's a lot of people that aren't capable of doing that. And if you're that unhappy, I always tell people, you know, find a mentor, find a coach, find somebody you're comfortable with in terms of, you know, the way they're thinking. Look, not everybody wants to work with you, right? Some they're not open to being positive. It kind of sounds silly, but you know, everybody finds their purpose in life. And there's a lot of people out there that are looking to help you. And there's a lot of books out there and a lot of tapes you can listen to and videos. But you got to do it to try and find that person, product, whatever it was. And I guess at some point, and maybe it's because of the fact that you were able to get therapy, a lot of kids don't, that you found those type of more motivational things. I've always been very much like that. I've always been into, especially when I got into sales. So when I went, it's funny because you probably, you know me as outgoing and everything. So when I was in college, first high school, I was very much of an introvert, not comfortable in my own skin. And I got involved in youth group through my temple. And I met people that were, and I found my people. Like, I was more comfortable with that group. And I became the president of the state of New Jersey, Reformed Jewish Youth, believe it or not. And,
wow.
But then I went to college and it was like, I went backwards. You know, I got involved in the fraternity, whatever, but I wasn't comfortable as myself. You know, I was having all those kinds of issues. And then when I got out of, I went to law school and I was coming out of law school. I'm like, you know, I don't have any kind of skills. I'm analytical, but what the hell am I going to do with that? So I went to work in my dad's business, in the insurance business, and learn sales and marketing, all that kind of stuff. And I used to travel around. Remember when we used to go in a car and we would drive and actually visit live human beings? Yes. Remember that day?
I do. So,
and in those days we had cassette tapes and then CDs, but now it's all live streaming. But I would buy all those motivational tapes and I would like turn my whole car into like a, not a university, I'm real, but you know what I mean? So I would listen to it constantly, whatever I was driving, to all this motivational stuff. And most of them were salespeople, you know, Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglar, and Brian Tracy. But then I found, you know, Deepak Chopra and, you know, all the Nightingale Conan stuff. And, you know, there's just so much stuff out there. And I started to change. Like you said, you start seeing the world differently. And I worry that, you know, a lot of people don't get there, unfortunately. But I guess you keep trying to.
Well, yeah. And that's a great point, Ben, to maybe work with a coach or a mentor. I made my biggest leaps. When I quit my job, I was working with a coach and I had people saying, you're paying $12,000 for this. That's so much money. But relative to what?
Like, right.
I would have paid that money 15 years ago to been on purpose and doing what I wanted.
Because you would have made different decisions, right?
I would have made different decisions.
Right.
Who knows where I'd be?
And maybe you're not so afraid if you have a person, a confidant, like a coach like that, right?
Right.
You're not alone making your decisions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I feel like, you know, the only thing that's really finite is our time. We don't get back time. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get back, you know, what I potentially could have lost. You know,
right.
I'm hoping one day to have my own family and all that. But right. Had I invested years ago, what, even if it's $50,000, it's worth the money to be happy. And
to yourself.
Have,
You're investing it in yourself.
In yourself. Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was in the same boat. It wasn't my late 30s, but it was my late 20s. And I'd gone on, I mean, everybody would set me up on a date and I would be like, okay, you know, going on a date. I probably spent thousands of dollars on dinners and this and that. I should have just done coffees all the time. It wasn't me to anybody. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to be in a couple of years. I'll be 30 into my 30s. And if I never meet anybody, I'm okay with that. I'm happy. Let me have my apartment and do my stuff and figure out where I'm going in life because I didn't know where. And I think within 6 months, I had girlfriends and broken up with girls. I even had I was even engaged, broke off the engagement.
Wow.
Yeah, I was engaged to be married, broke off the engagement. The whole thing was a nightmare, but probably for her too. But it was funny. So we broke a little side story. We broke off the engagement and we had an engagement party. So we had all these gifts. So I'm like, well, we're going to give back the gifts. She's like, well, we are? Yeah, we're going to give back the gifts. If they don't want them, we're going to go return them, make sure the money goes back in their credit card. And I return all these gifts. So one day my dad comes to me and he goes, you know, I was just thinking. He named like four friends that's kids who had broken off engagements, never got the gifts back. And he's like, you know, they never gave me the gift. Yeah, it was pretty funny. So, and after that, I was just basically like happy to be on my own. And I remember my dad had gotten... He had fainted at a restaurant and he went to the hospital and they did some, whatever tests they were doing in those days. And the guy said, you know, it's a little bit on the chart. Why don't you come back in 6 months? We don't have to do an invasive test. There were stress tests in those days. And he goes, well, I could be dead in 6 months. Let's do the test. And he had two fully blocked arteries and a partially blocked third artery. He ended up having a triple bypass. It was a double bypass. Yeah, we were supposed to go on my grandparents' 60th wedding anniversary. We were going to Vancouver on a British Columbia on a cruise, the whole family. Mm-hmm. So we had to call that off. So I was going out to the Hamptons because my sister had a share house in the Hamptons. with a lot of, you know, 40 kids or whatever. And I didn't want to go, but she, I was her ride or whatever. I went out there and my wife was the cousin, was with her cousin who was in the share house. And I had been like, I'm not going to meet anybody. And I didn't care. I got to the point where I totally didn't care. I was just having fun. Didn't care. And, you know, and I remember she walked in there and I was like, and I was at breakfast the next morning with some friends and I go, boy, that guy Rich's girlfriend, she's hot. And they go, girl, that's not his girlfriend. That's his cousin. And I'm like, really? I got up and I was like, I'll see you. And I left and went back to the house and I met her. And then I think we got engaged 6 months later or something.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, but it's like when you finally give up, I mean, not give up, but you become comfortable. Yeah. When you're like, it's okay to feel that way and I'm going to be fine. It'll happen. It'll happen for you too, I'm sure, very soon. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what I believe too. Exactly. Yeah. I just put my focus on my business.
And, right. Positive energy. Positive energy, I think, attracts, right? It's the law of attraction. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yep.
I love the saying, I don't know who said it, but what you feel will reveal. And so it's like, pay attention to how you feel. Make how you feel your top priority. So I've decided that I want to spend more of my time feeling empowered, happy, certain, because that's what I want to attract.
There's no question about it. Well, we're, you know, we're full of electricity. I mean, that's what runs us. So there's no question that if you're negative and you're near people, they're going to start to feel negative and they're going to start to associate that with you. And with every time they see you, they're like, oh God, here comes Nikki. She's always so negative. But it's totally the opposite because when people see you and talk to you, you can hear it in your voice. I mean, I don't get that electricity because we can't be next to each other yet, someday. But yeah, definitely. If you pick people walking in the room, when I see your face, I'm like, oh good, Nikki's here. You know, I see other people, I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to them. You know,
you feel that it's energy. You do. And even think about like when you wake up, people say, oh, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You know, I spilled my coffee and then I went to work and then I was sitting in traffic and then, you know, da, 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 and it's like the snowball effect. And
it's like, just got to take a deep breath and put it aside. Say, this isn't real. It's usually not real, right?
It's usually not real.
It's usually not real. So let's talk about, because I did, I went through a coaching group with you for money coaching, being, you know, bringing abundance in your life and being positive. And hopefully I got all the things out of it I was supposed to. I didn't do all the homework. I did most of it. It was hard. It was hard. It was, you know, it was hard to keep up with everything going on. And I got the same feedback during the business plan challenge that I did where people were like, you know, it was hard. I had other things going on. I was like, well, that's why they call it a challenge. You know, it's supposed to be difficult. Yeah. Only two people finished the whole thing. I had a 55.
It was, can I just say you gave a lot of work.
Yeah, I did.
I did the first
and
day
I cut
and I got
it
to
down.
The second day and I said, whoa, this is a lot.
You know what? I think, I'll tell you where I fell short, I think, with the challenge was explaining that there's a lot there, but a lot of it doesn't apply in every situation. And you got to kind of look through each section and say, okay, well, these three things work for me and the other parts I can put aside. So if I do it again, that's probably, I would do more guidance when on the videos. But it, you know, it was the first time for everything.
Yeah.
Right?
So next time you make some tweaks.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what I did. Even with the money program that you're talking about, that was the fourth one. That was the 4.0.
Yeah.
So I've made lots of changes along the way. But the good thing is you have forever access. You can always go back and redo all the modules. And
I'm a forever client.
There's time. Yeah.
Nice. So let's talk about the things you do, like the different courses you offer to people, the kind of training you do, you know, advice for people. And things like that, especially business owners, because hopefully the people listening are entrepreneurs and small business owners.
Right. Yeah. So, well, the money program, that's the Creating Money Coaching Program.
Right.
That's a 6-week program. I typically open it up 3 to 4 times a year.
Okay.
And what it teaches you is how to change your entire relationship with money. And that's what really needs to happen for entrepreneurs, right? Especially if you're going from an employee mindset to the entrepreneurial world.
And most of our relationships with money are terrible.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
money is all the root of all evil and all that type of stuff.
It causes problems.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. People come out of the woodwork when you have money and we don't realize how all of this stuff, it makes us afraid. So we kind of get into that resistance and we repel money. So we did a lot with diving into what's your relationship with money? What's your identity? How do you feel around money? Even receiving, like
People
are you even open to receiving money?
Right.
And if you can't receive a compliment, how can you receive, you know, yeah, all this
some
money?
People can't do that either.
Yeah. And then we worked a lot with manifestation, different processes and tools to help you to think differently. So you kind of upgrade your thoughts and you start even opening up your eyes to seeing the different opportunity.
Right.
It's like if you have your eyes closed, your head down, there could be something right in front of you and you don't see it.
Well, it's so like you learn a new word and then you start seeing it everywhere.
It was always there.
You just didn't.
Yeah.
See.
Same thing with cars when you're car shopping.
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
you're like, no,
car,
I'm going to get this new car.
It's everywhere on the road.
What the heck?
Yeah.
That's
yeah, and it's the same with money. So,
right.
So it's, yeah, it's like changing the subconscious programming. And that was a big piece of it. And even how to learn to look at money in different ways. A lot of us put money in the box of work.
Right.
And we think money has to come through that way. And how often I'll hear somebody say, oh yeah, no, I didn't make any money this week. I didn't attract any money. And then they overlook that they got a tax refund or they got a check back in the mail from their insurance company and you're discounting that money. And that's like cutting off the supply. So it's like, if you can look at everything as money, even somebody picking up the tab at lunch, that is money that came your way that day.
Yeah. So you wouldn't have to give away your points. Right.
Yeah. So it was like a big like way of looking at money differently, changing the story. I use a lot of meditation in my work and helping to people just kind of connect and really trust is huge. Starting to trust yourself, trust the process. So, and that program, I think it's pretty fun too.
And I went away with some tools that I can use, like the steer process and what did I do with it? The wheel. I just did.
Oh, the focus wheel.
The focus wheel.
That's an Abraham Hicks process.
That was great. Yeah, that's all good stuff because then it gives you, you know, ways to deal with coping mechanisms or, you know, a goal. That's really what the focus wheel is, right? You're focusing on a goal that you want to achieve, right? And then all the things you're doing to achieve it.
To achieve it.
And fill up the wheel, so to speak.
Yeah, because we could really, we experience our world through our five senses. So we get very hooked on what do I see? What do I see in my bank account right now? What clients do I have? What money's coming in? And if we don't like what we see, we get upset in some way. And then you're blocking yourself from the abundance that is already there, like we said, with the cars that are already on the road. What are you seeing? Like our brain, there's that RAS, that reticular activating system, and it acts as a filter. So it only filters in what you believe, expect, and focus on. So if you're taking all this massive action to get the clients, but in the background, you're believing I can't do it, it hasn't worked out before, I've only ever made this much money, the action you're taking doesn't matter. You're working against yourself. And that's those invisible barriers.
Sabotaging
those roadblocks. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we shine a light on all that. We bring it to the surface. We question, is it true? And we start creating a new story. We redefine what money is, redefine what success is. You start feeling a lot better, right? And then you start taking different actions that get you different results.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the one program I have. And then the other group coaching program I have, it's actually starting in September. It's an accountability coaching pod.
Okay.
And that is 3 to 5 people. We work together for 3 months. So we're going to work on the last quarter of the year. What is the goal? How do you want to finish out the year? And then a lot of that too is mindset. Because again, people have goals, but if they don't see themselves, if they don't have that self-image that they can achieve that, then they're just taking action and they're just spinning their wheels or they're not getting the traction that they want. So we do a lot with, here's the goal. How can we make it in a way that you fully 100% believe you can accomplish this goal? Let's chunk it down. Let's make it actionable. Let's choose steps that feel exciting to you. And then there's also the mindset work that I do with helping you to remove, you know, when you start noticing that you're procrastinating or maybe getting caught up in perfectionism, how can we move through that?
And a lot of it, so you do a lot of individual coaching too then?
And then I do private coaching. Yep. Private. So those are the two group coaching programs. And then I've got private coaching where it's customized to whatever it is your needs are. And then we can work together. I was doing packages, like 3 and 6 month packages. But since we're in this new world that we're in, I am doing monthly. So that there's no commitment. It's just 1 month at a time. You could choose your level of support that you want, but it really helps to move you forward faster when you've got somebody like a mentor or a coach.
Now, are you working on any online courses like, you know, videos like people can just
Yeah, people can subscribe to my YouTube channel. I have a free Facebook group, Reprogram Your Mind for Success. Okay. Inside of there, I've got a ton of videos as well. Okay. They can get on my email list. I've got a blog on my website. So there's tons and tons of free resources as well.
Okay. And what is the one or two pieces of advice you want to give to a business owner who's maybe struggling, I don't know, with his thoughts is probably what he's struggling with.
Yes. I want to say, make how you feel your top priority. This is where mindfulness comes in, because if we're on autopilot and we're just going about our day, sometimes we don't even check in with ourselves to know how we feel.
Right.
Until it maybe manifests physically in the body, that you've got a pain in your side, right, or heaviness in your chest, yeah, or headache, you're nauseous. But there's so many little signs before that we could notice that we're off track, and then we can course correct. So always check in with yourself. And if you're not feeling whatever it is that you want, excited or happy, it's become aware of those thoughts that you're thinking, because you're just moving in a different direction. I like the steer process is like the concept of the navigation. You put in that navigation where you want to go. And when you go the wrong way, it recalculates. So when you're having negative thoughts, you're just going the wrong way. And now you get to recalculate.
Right. And if you course correct before you're nauseous and have physical problems, it's probably a lot easier than when it's now manifesting itself.
When it's manifesting, when it's physically manifesting in your body.
Yeah, then it's gone a little too long.
Yes, right. So if you just, as simple as that, make how you feel your top priority. When you notice that you're feeling even like sluggish or tired, just get curious. Like, what's going on here? Take out a pen and paper. Get your thoughts out of your head. We're bombarded with thoughts on average 60,000 to 80,000 a day. It's so many. And most of those thoughts are negative. Like I think 85% are negative. And then most of those negative thoughts are repetitive. So you're basically thinking the same negative thoughts every day.
Right. And now because of the way the world's so connected, you're just coming at you all the time. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So you do have to, you know, like you have to minimize certain things. Like I've never watched news, but even more so now I don't, because, you know, why feed yourself with all of that? I mean, be informed, obviously, but if you notice that it's affecting your mood, you know, when you stay in a mood for too long, eventually it becomes your personality.
Yeah.
Right. So you've got to really notice how you feel. And then make those shifts. And if you need help with how to think in different ways or how to redefine your story, whether it's around success or money or love or anything, then that could be a good opportunity to work with a mentor.
Absolutely. If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.